Chapter 12. The waitress brought out Elizabeth Devereaux's main course and my dessert, both together. Devereaux had ordered the same thing I had eaten, the fat cheeseburger and the squirrel's nest of fries. My pie was peach, and the slice I got was about half the size of a major league home plate. It was bigger than the dish it was in. My coffee was in a tall stoneware mug. Devereaux had plain water in a chipped glass. It's easier to let a pie go cold than a cheeseburger, so I figured I had a chance to talk while Devereaux had no choice but to eat and listen and comment briefly. So I said, "Pellegrino told me you guys are real busy." Devereaux chewed and nodded. I said, "A wrecked car and a dead woman." She nodded again and chased an errant pearl of mayonnaise back into her mouth with the tip of her little finger. An elegant gesture for an inelegant act. She had short nails, nicely trimmed and polished. She had slender hands, a little tanned and sinewy. Good skin. No rings. None at all. Especially not on her left ring finger. I asked, "Any progress on any of that?" She swallowed and smiled and held her hand up like a traffic cop. "Stop, wait," she said.
"Give me a minute, okay? No more talking."
So I ate my pie, which was good. The crust was sweet and the peaches were soft, probably local. Or maybe from Georgia. I didn't know much about the cultivation of fruit. She ate, with the burger in her right hand, her left taking fries one by one from her plate, her eyes on mine most of the time. The grease from the meat made her lips glisten. She was a slim woman. She must have had a metabolism like a nuclear reactor. She took occasional long sips of water. I drained my mug. The coffee was okay, but not as good as the pie. She asked, "Doesn't coffee keep you awake?" I nodded. "Until I want to go to sleep. That's what it's for." She took a last sip of water and left a rind of bun and six or seven fries on her plate. She wiped her mouth and then her hands on her napkin. She folded her napkin and laid it down next to her plate. Dinner was over. I asked, "So, are you making progress?" She smiled at some inner amusement and then leaned sideways away from the table, hands braced to increase her angle, and she looked me over again, slowly, a crooked path all the way from my feet in the shadows to my head. She said,
"You're pretty good. Nothing to be ashamed about, really. It's not your fault."
I asked, "What isn't?" She leaned back in her chair. She kept her eyes on mine. She said,
"My daddy was sheriff here before me. Since before I was born, actually. He won about 20 consecutive elections. He was firm, but fair, and honest. No fear or favor. He was a good public servant."
I said, "I'm sure he was."
"But I didn't like it here very much. Not as a kid. I mean, can you imagine? It's the back of beyond. We got books in the mail. I knew there was a big wide world out there, so I had to get away."
I said, "I don't blame you."
She said, "But some ideas get ingrained, like public service, like law enforcement. It starts to feel like a family business, the same as any other."
I nodded. She was right. Kids follow their parents into law enforcement far more than most other professions, except baseball. The son of a pro ball player is 800 times more likely to make the majors than some other random kid. She said,
"So, look at it from my point of view. What do you think I did when I turned 18?
I said, "I don't know." Although by that point I was pretty sure I did know, more or less, and I wasn't happy about it. She said,
I went to South Carolina and joined the Marine Corps.
I nodded, worse than I had expected. For some reason, I had been betting on the Air Force. I asked her, how long were you in?
16 years.
Which made her 36 years old. 18 years at home, plus 16 as a jarhead, plus 2 as Carter County Sheriff. Same age as me. I asked her, what branch of the Corps?
Provost Marshal's office.
I looked away. I said, you were a military cop. She said,
public service and law enforcement. I killed 2 birds with 1 stone.
I looked back, beaten. I asked her, terminal rank?
CWO 5,
she said. Chief Warrant Officer 5, an expert in a specific, specialized field, the sweet spot where the real work was done. I asked her, why did you leave?
Rumblings, she said. The Soviets are gone. Reductions in force are coming. I figured it would feel better to step up than be thrown out. Plus, my daddy died, and I couldn't let some idiot like Pellegrino take over.
I asked her, where did you serve?
All over, she said. Uncle Sam was my rich uncle. He showed me the world. Some parts of it were worth seeing, and some parts of it weren't.
I said nothing. The waitress came back and took away our empty plates.
Anyway, Devereaux said, I was expecting you. It's exactly what we would have done, frankly, under the same circumstances. A homicide behind a bar, near a base. Some kind of big secrecy or sensitivity on the base. We would have put an investigator on the post, and we would have sent another into town. Undercover.
I said nothing. She said,
the idea being, of course, that the undercover guy in town would keep his ear to the ground and then step in and stop the locals embarrassing the Corps, if strictly necessary, that is. It was a policy I supported back then, naturally. But now, I am the locals. So I can't really support it anymore.
I said nothing.
Don't feel bad, she said. You were doing it better than some of our guys did. I love the shoes, for instance. And the hair. You're fairly convincing. You ran into a bit of bad luck, that's all, with me being who I am. Although the timing wasn't subtle, was it? But then, it never is. I don't see how it ever could be. And to be honest, you're not a very fluent liar. You shouldn't have said the 110th. I know about the 110th, of course. You were nearly as good as we were. But really, Hader? Far too uncommon a name. And the khaki socks? Were a mistake. Obvious BX. You probably bought them yesterday. I wore socks just like them.
I didn't want to lie, I said. Didn't seem right. My father was a Marine. Maybe I sensed it in you.
He was a Marine, but you joined the Army? What was that? Mutiny?
I don't know what it was, I said, but it felt right at the time.
How does it feel now?
Right this minute? Not so great.
Don't feel bad, she said again. You gave it a good try.
I said nothing. She asked,
what rank are you?
I said, Major.
Should I salute?
Only if you want to.
Still with the 110th?
Temporarily. Home base right now is the 396th MP, the Criminal Investigation Division.
How many years in?
13, plus West Point.
I'm honored. Maybe I should salute. Who did they send to kill him?
A guy called Monroe, same rank as me.
That's confusing,
she said. I said, are you making progress? She said,
you don't give up, do you?
Giving up was not in the mission statement. You know how it is.
Okay, I'll trade, she said. One answer for one answer, and then you ship back out. You hit the road at first light. In fact, I'll get Pellegrino to drive you back to where he picked you up. Do we have a deal?
What choice did I have? I said, we have a deal.
No, she said, we're not making progress. Absolutely none at all.
Okay, I said. Thanks. Your turn.
Obviously, it would give me an insight to know if you're the ace, or if the guy they sent to kill him is the ace. I mean, in terms of the Army's current thinking about the balance of probabilities here. As in, do they think the problem is inside the gates or outside? So, are you the big dog, or is the other guy?
Honest answer?
That's what I would expect from the son of a fellow Marine.
The honest answer is, I don't know, I said.